estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 523. I'm Adam and here's Ben the Shoveler.
Agatha Christie, I was talking about you just the other day. I said, I bet she's brilliant. I'm the Doctor. This is Donna. Oh, I love your stuff. What a mind. You fool me every time. Well, almost every time. Well, once or twice. Well, once, but it was a good once.
Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
Subtitles, by the way.
Did you say someone else?
Yeah, you.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
But isn't that a bit weird? Agatha Christie didn't walk around surrounded by murders. Not really. I mean, that's like meeting Charles Dickens. He's surrounded by ghosts at Christmas.
Debbie Melrose.
Only place to wear pearls.
Yeah.
Debbie, we're doing Doctor Who this week.
Mary Lang.
Oh, Mimi.
Yes. So this week we're going to be looking at the rather picturesque unicorn and the bird out of the Star Wars films. No, it's a bird out of the Star Wars film and the wasp. They are, sorry. And, before we get going, explain. So I got a bit COVID-y the week before last. And I actually felt quite all right, but I thought it was inappropriate to do the show because I had to phone in on the on Saturday to say sorry I've tested positive, and I didn't think work would appreciate me doing a podcast when I would have been at work that day had I not been positive.
I did know that, and I'm I'm glad you're all right, and I hope you didn't feel too bad and all of that stuff. But I've got to point out that in the last couple of weeks, before we go. Do you want to make any predictions about tonight's podcast?
It's going to finish at some point.
Okay, that's a good prediction. And probably better than the ones you've put on your Facebook page over the last couple of weeks. I shall just point out two, my favourite two. The night of the big storm we had. Can you remember what you posted on the day of the big storm? Where I should just point out the Isle of Wight had the highest winds in the entire country.
Not where we were.
Can you remember
what
you posted? You posted... These winds don't seem too bad. Not as bad as 87.
Correct.
Well,
some worse than 87.
Close. And then,
not where we were, was it?
Yeah, exactly. And then just the other day, it was last week. No, during the week just gone. During the Southampton FA Cup match. Oh, Hassan Tyler's given up on the FA Cup, putting out the B team. Did you win, by the way?
Yeah, but that's because they put they changed the side at half time and put the first team on.
They were winning. They were doing very well. They would have won anyway. So anyway, Adam, I'm now going to call you Mr. Soothsayer.
Well, I'd just like to say with Southampton, I tend to like to predict the negative with a view to being very much. I'll never predict them to win because it's always worked the opposite way around. So it's a bit like when you predict the worst and expect the best. I will never verbally say I think they're going to win.
So you're saying a pessimist is never disappointed?
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Which is a song by who? Who did that as a song?
The Who?
No, not who did that as a song. Well, that's a very good answer, Adam. and has tickled me somewhat. No, it was Sophie Ellis-Bextor's band called The Audience.
And then what's the link between Sophie Ellis-Bextor and Doctor Who?
She's never been in it.
Her mum has, though.
Right, but... Yeah. Okay, well, so's her friend.
Hey?
Sophie Ellis-Bextor's friend's been in Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure many of them have, but... Yeah,
Exactly.
Lots of people have been in Doctor Who, but who is this person that you're talking about?
Yeah, Sophie Ellis-Bextor? Anyway.
There's murder on the dance floor.
So, yes, yeah, so go back to what we were saying. Yes, I had COVID the week I couldn't do it. Then the next week I was filming, so I couldn't do the show anyway. Fortunately, I had been tested negative 2 days running by the time we actually got to film that show. So I suppose that's, you know, swings around. And I didn't feel very well. I didn't feel very well for the... I just tested on Saturday, so I didn't feel very well on the Saturday. Obviously, that's why we did the test, Sunday, Monday. But the time we got to Wednesday, I just felt really pissed off, really, because I was being treated like a leper in my own house. I had to be in different rooms to everybody else, wearing masks. I had to eat my dinner separately. I had to go I had to go upstairs, spend most of the time in bed watching films like The Da Vinci Code and things like that, you know. So it wasn't much fun. That was the worst part of it.
Did you have to move out to a shed?
No, did you? Did you have to move out to a shed then?
Because if you didn't, mate, you know, I'm kind of Ukraine in this situation.
Oh. Anyway.
Well, that drops into the air like a lead balloon.
Things.
Like one of Putin's lead balloons.
Ah, where's my bell?
He's an awful. Should we not talk about Doctor Who and just discuss how
awful that movie is? No, we shall not do that. I'm trying to have a departure from all that.
Yeah, we're trying more. We're here to help people have, supposedly, because they like listening to us apparently, we're supposed to waffle and have good times and help people distract from this appalling.
Another appalling state of affairs. We've had Brexit, we've had COVID, now we've got this bloody again. Yes,
but I want to say hello to anyone who's listening after the Holocaust who downloaded this podcast and cut out that podcast on their device to listen to it. Well done, you. We're all hiding under the bridge of the M25. Yeah,
they'd only be listening to it if they happened to download it.
We're still doing it, though.
Right then. Anyway, so stuff coming through on the live feed. Lillian Robin says, hell yeah. In that accent too, and then she says copyright Donna Noble. Ah, good quote. Robert good Bench Jr. says good, yeah. Hi all one, yeah. And then he says get well Adam. All right now, it's just 2 weeks ago and I had COVID. And then Lillian said if you want to reduce the wind, lay off the beans. All right then. We can nearly
beans on the Isle of Wight that
weekend. Baba, by the way, there's anyone in England, well, the UK, noticed the massive increase in the cost of beans recently?
No, because I hate beans and I'd never eat them unless I really, really had to.
Well, in retail, Adam, you should have noticed the price of baked beans has gone up. No, I work
in cold chain. I don't pay much attention to
the ambient. He works in cold. I like that.
That reminds me so much of the Jasper Carrot skit. I put some arsenic in the pick and mix. It's not my department.
Anyway, A Unicorn the Wasp begins with the Doctor and Donna arriving in a stately home.
I knew this show came to something.
And, yes, then they're at a sort of what's going to be a party. And then I'll just go through the bit where they're observing from a distance some various posh people. Just as a typical sort of Cluedo murder occurs. And then they meet the Felicity Kendall, who's the
Kendall,
who's the
legend of British TV. Get themselves into the party using the psychic paper. David Tennant's dad wanders around offering up drinks to people. And of course, there's we quickly meet all the characters, including obviously the vicar and the candlestick, and oh no, that's a done thing altogether, isn't it? And the secret gay couple, and then Agatha Christie. I couldn't speak that for a moment. Then Agatha Christie. I nearly stuttered
master,
it.
Master,
Agatha Christie.
Master, why did you skip over the whole business of the? Professor Plum or Professor Peach in the library with the lead pipe.
Well, I didn't want to say it. That's why I skipped over it.
That was going to be one of my quotes.
But you didn't use it, so what difference is it? Anyway, right. So Donna gets all excited because they're meeting Agatha Kisser. And there was also a funny moment where she tries to talk all posh. And, of course, the Doctor, don't do that. No, don't do that.
Stop it.
Don't do that.
Anyway, after meeting Agatha Christie, the Doctor picks up a newspaper and notices it's the date she went missing, or words to that effect. Anyway, the Indian lady? She's some sort of matron or something. Anyway, she's sent off to find somebody who is currently dead, and goes, "Ah,
it's getting better."
Yes. Anyway, so the doctor and everybody else piles into the room and examines the body. And so I'm just moving on a bit.
there's not much feedback, so you can take your time.
Good. And anyway, so the doctor finds some goo on the floor and works out it's the residue for some sort of morphing process. I thought it was going to be honey when I first watched the thing. Of course, wasps don't make honey, but this is a science fiction fantasy TV show, and I thought they would have wanted to have some. So
anything's possible.
Yeah.
Did anyone get a Peter Davison vibe out of the looks of Reverend Golightly?
No, I got a sort of Agatha Christie vibe out of the storyline. Was that all right? No.
You've got to remember, okay. Adam, bees make honey, wasps make jam.
Do they?
Yeah.
They do?
Oh, be quiet. Anyway, then we meet that bird off the Star Wars.
It's a legitimate expression, Adam. It is.
I'm sure it is.
Sure it is, but it made me pause for thought for a couple of seconds, which isn't particularly good for an audio presentation. Right then.
Let's all do that for a second. Let's just all pause for thought.
Anyway, so then we meet that bird off the Star Wars film. That's Rogue One, otherwise known as Felicity Jones. Is it Felicity Jones? I can't remember now. Anyway, yeah, she's also Stephen Hawking's wife as well.
I haven't seen that movie yet.
Good film. And then we meet the bloke who was in the Talons of Weng Chiang. And we have a few little sequences of people reminiscing about stuff, and his reminiscence is can-can dance. Of course it was fun. So they all get slightly distracted. Very much like the people who run this show. Yeah, I thought it was so close. Getting slightly distracted.
You're the person that runs this show.
Yeah, technically.
We just contribute.
We are laser focused.
That's right. Pass the blame.
If it came down to anyone getting in any trouble, your name's on the podcast list, mate. Ours isn't.
Yes. Anyway, I
take him out of prison.
Sorry, the doctor gets into sort of teaming up with his new companion, Agatha Christie, and sends Donna upstairs to poke around. But she does a great line when she... see if I can find the line, which I quite liked, when the butler bloke wanders up. Hang on. Let's turn up the volume. Here it is.
You won't find anything in...
How come it's locked?
Lady Edison commands it to be so.
And I command it to be otherwise. Scotland Yard. Pip, pip.
Which is superb.
11 seconds, Adam.
I don't understand, though, how... that room has been locked for almost 40 years, and yet she manages to get into it by simply asking.
Why not?
It's the first time anyone's asked.
And she pokes around a bit, and then this wasp suddenly starts buzzing around, but the doctor very cleverly gave her a magnifying glass, which she equally very cleverly uses the sun to keep it at bay.
Stop the wasp making jam.
But I seem to remember last time we reviewed this story, there was a sequence until the Indian matron woman who goes out into the yard, or whatever you want to call it, and trots by the building, looks up and sees this gargoyle falling off. Instead of running away, decides to clap her.
Just stands there and screams.
Claps her
but
cheeks,
you know,
and
why?
Allows it to kill her. Pardon?
You know why?
Science fiction fantasy TV show. Didn't make any sense. I'd be legging it. That's all looked up and saw that falling towards me. We'd be standing with my hands clasped to my cheeks.
That's the way things are in these stories.
Okay. Anyway, so she's dead. After she did whisper a couple of things. Oh, I'll be there. Of course, the doctor, when clapping eyes on Waspy, is sort of quite overcome by fascination, and they all sort of almost chase it around the house. And then they get everybody together in like a drawing room. Is that one place? What are you laughing at? It is a drawing room, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. No, it's just that I love that it's Agatha Christie in an Agatha Christie. It's just ironically funny.
Yes. Well, there must
Master,
be some... Oh, dear. Yes.
Apparently the mill liked the software that they used for the for the Wasp, because it's basically the exact same software that they used for the Bane in Sarah Jane.
Okay. It's not a Wasp, by the way. It's a Vespathorm. Just like to point out to you, Kirby.
I thought
it looked like the graphics that they used for the latest FIFA game.
Wasp.
What we got here?
Wasp FC.
Robert Venstein says, I hope Kirby knows where our old reviews are. Anyway, I just want to talk about Felicity Jones for a second, because she does rather light up the screen. I think it's one of her first roles, and it's not really surprising that she caught the interest of the makers of Rogue One and the other film she was in with the other bloke who won the Oscar. Anyway, moving on. So, eventually, Donna is able to have a little bit of a girly heart-to-heart with Agatha, who does explain that her husband she caught her husband doing the dirty on her. And then they find Pardon?
He was having it away.
Yes. They find a little box containing some gadgets. And
Inspector Gadget.
While the doctor's just having sort of laying back and have a little chat about potential solvings of crimes, he has a bit of a funny turn. And he realizes he's been poisoned.
My favourite scene.
And
it reminds me of the sedative scene in Young Frankenstein.
Yes. Anyway.
Sedative?
I know a lot of people do not like this scene.
Now, can I just say?
I think it's brilliant.
It is brilliant. Now, can I just say, right? It is a comedy scene. It's not no problem having comedy in Doctor Who. Look at one of my favourite stories, City of Death, isn't it? That's a comedy. Brilliance.
Yes.
This scene is just great. I mean, and it gives Tennant and Tate to do to show their comic abilities. Tate probably more than Tennant. Tennant's just overacting. Tate is just
strict man to her comedy.
Yeah.
I seem to recall in the original full-length Confidential that they go into a lot of the filming of this scene. Unfortunately, it's not in the cut down.
All right. Okay. Sorry about that.
Original Confidentials.
After taking all these the sort of things that you find around the kitchen, eventually for the bit of miming, which is similar to obviously where they're meeting at the beginning of the series in Partners in Crime, where they were miming through the windows. He eventually has a kiss with Donna. Didn't mind it because she said it's something that was shocking. And out he puffed some sort of smog, I suppose, and he was fine. And then they went off to dinner, and all the candles went out. And then, of course, this gives the Doctor the opportunity to goad whoever is the Wasp out. And he manages to do that, but we don't quite see who it turned out to be. And there's a lot of funny scenes. I mean, I don't know if I've got up to it yet. It's, somebody dies. Oh, the son. Her son dies. Yes, Felicity's son gets stabbed during this particular... He gets stabbed by his brother, as we find later on. And, of course, it's very upsetting for his secret lover, who's quite upset. But a great bit of acting, actually, by Felicity. My baby, my son, my boy. Or whatever she said, I go. So... moving on. Yeah, so after that bit, who is it that works out that Felicity Jones is in fact the unicorn?
Me.
Somebody does. It was, I think, Agatha, wasn't it?
Doesn't Agatha? Yeah. I think Agatha.
Yeah.
And again, I love the way she switches from posh toff to rather sort of theatrical.
All right, you got me. Of, I'm rumbled. Yeah. Lord love
Mary Poppins style Cockney.
She got in a big carpet bag and naffed off.
She did. Ran down those apple pears and out she went bim bimini.
Yes, you've been looking forward to doing that, haven't you, Debbie?
Master.
Yes.
Master. That's sort of Cockney, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be. It's Van Dyke-esque, yes.
There's another moment concerning Cockney rhyming slang.
Yeah.
The doctor first realizes he's been poisoned. He rounds on Davenport and gasps, ginger beer.
Yeah.
Only to be met by a retort, I beg your pardon, as if Davenport has been personally affronted. That's because Cockney rhyming slang ginger beer rhymes with queer. It's
I never even picked up on that one. Well done, Kirby.
My nan was a Cockney.
I'm impressed with that one. Right, what have we got here? Robert Hedge Jr.
I was going to say your nan was ginger beer.
My nan was a Cockney.
A lot of my family were Cockneys, actually. They're the ones that and my Cockney family is the one that ended up going way back, but enough of that. Robert Venge Jr. says Chi was good in this episode. CGI.
CGI.
And then he says CGI was good, dumb spell check.
Yeah.
Anyways, another scene.
Kyle.
Damn it, woman. You with your perspicacity. You rumbled me.
And of course he then stands up. It turns out she was just going to tell him that he was innocent. So I thought that was quite a good little bit of funniness.
Yes.
And then, of course, the little necklace thing is revealed. And we have a little story of what Felicity Kendall got up to in the Far East. She had a little bit of a fling with somebody who happened to be an alien waspy thing.
Oh, no.
That rather gave away what was going on.
Yes.
And then, of course, the doctor's doing this sort of typical Agatha Christie pointing fingers at people and saying, you are not the boss. It was a bit like an episode of Death in Paradise, but not in Paradise in Doctor Who. Sort of thing.
Yes, yeah.
Eventually, of course, we get the story of the first time that Vicar got angry and he turned into the wasp in the church.
Well, that was only a few days before.
Yes. And then eventually the Vicar's wound up enough to turn into waspy. And Agatha decides it's down to her to sort of stop everything and leads the wasp away from the house. And because obviously Daddy Wasp drowned in some sort of flood out in the Far East, she works out that they could drown, or she could drown the wasp here by sacrificing herself by jumping into the
master.
You got it wrong, Adam.
Did I?
Yeah, it's it is her. Never mind. I'm wrong. I admit it.
Yeah, see, that's so.
Anyway, she thinks she's going to sacrifice herself, but what actually happens is Donna throws the necklace into the lake and the wasp follows it, and it's nearly going to, because they're connected, Agatha and this necklace thing are connected.
Yes, that's right, it is Donna who does it, that's what I thought.
So she collapses and sort of goes into a little bit of a coma and a bit of a weirdo forgetfulness stage, and then she disappears for a few, into this, whatever it is, for a while. The Doctor, meanwhile, goes back into the TARDIS and searches through one of his boxes and finds what?
I love all the stuff he pulls out besides the book.
Oh, go on then, very quickly.
Well, one of them is the crystal ball that the witches are inside. He gives it a little shake, you notice.
Yeah. Yeah, go on then. Anything else?
Well, there's a Roman statue that may or may not be whichever doctor, the 12th doctor. There's a Cyberman breastplate.
I thought that the bust was Caesar, because he's looking at C's. Everything in there begins with C.
Well, he's got a little plate that's a cyber.
It starts with a C.
Thought it was a bust of Caesar.
He's got a part of the cyber person, hasn't he? So he flings across.
Catilius starts with a C.
Oh, good grief. No, that head you're talking about is bald. It's not going to be Peter Capaldi.
No.
He finds this book, and it's many years into the future, and then that's the end of the story in the episode, because the next bit, of course, is the Silence and the Lamb thingy, which we're doing next time. Silence in the Library. I knew I was going to say that. I said to myself at the beginning of the episode, do not call Silence in the Library Silence of the Lambs. But
and it's
I fell foul of that one. Yes, it did. Anyway, right then. So this is a good fun. It's basically what it is. It's good fun. It's very pretty, beautifully lit. Got some sort of what would now be called stunt casting and certain characters and actors that are in
it.
And I'd even forgotten that Felicity Jones is actually in it. So that was quite fab to watch her in action in her early days. Of course, Felicity Kendall always lights up the screen, whatever she's in. And thoroughly enjoyable, slightly silly, but really good, in my view. I know some people, like you say, Kirby, hate it. Well, I wasn't one of those people. I actually quite enjoyed it. What do you think about it, Ben?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very clever, as Debbie pointed out earlier, the fact you had your insider.
Well, what's happening? What happened there?
Yeah, what's happening?
I could...
Uh-oh.
No, I was only joking.
Oh, come on.
I had a feeling he would have to say that. Yeah.
Typical Ben. All right, I'm playing your theme tune. That'll do. Right, carry on.
Yeah, the fact you had Agatha Christie in an Agatha Christie was just fantastic. And yeah. I love it. Just worked really, really well. It was really well acted. Some brilliant comedy moments. A half-decent story, but the story can be forgiven for being a bit crappy because it was so good in every other way. I watched it about, seems like about 6 months ago now. It was actually the night before we were going to originally record this, so my memories of it are quite hazy now. But no, really, really enjoyed it. And for a, what could be described a throwaway episode by a lot of people, I think it marks very highly on my... I think I'll probably give it 5 out of 4 1/4 wasps.
Debbie, what did you think?
This is brilliant, this episode. It's fun. It's super fun. And I just think this is... You get the quality of Catherine Tate and her... She is such a good foil for David Tennant in these scenes, especially the kitchen scene. That is just so funny and so well done. It's just such a great episode. The music, the costumes, as Adam was saying, the lighting, the colour of this is lovely. It's just it's a fun... proper escapism Doctor Who, and just fits the bill for everything you want, a bit of sci-fi, a bit of fun, and throwing a few historical people and you know, solve the mystery of where she went for 3 days is quite fun. Just heartily approve of this one. Sorry?
I thought it was 12 days.
Well, I don't know.
You were very specific there.
She's gone for a while.
She's gone for a bit, but if they solved, that's all I meant was that they solved the issue. Sorry, I wasn't more specific.
You mean that they solved the issue of where... They solved where Agatha Christie went for a number of days.
A number of days, or just 3 out of the 12 anyway.
Well.
A week and a bit.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
No, well, thank you very much. Kirby, what did you think?
Absolutely love this one. It's so much fun. Yeah, the wasp is silly, but so what?
You need to wipe your microphone.
What does your microphone look like now?
Yeah. The fun thing about this one is, you know, my wife doesn't like Doctor Who, and I was watching this with Fred in our kitchen 3 weeks ago now, I guess it was. And we had this on. My wife was out in the sunroom, and she came in while we were watching this. And she notices this 1920s setting, and she sees people referring to Agatha Christie. And she actually started to watch it until she realized it was Doctor Who.
I say, Kirby, at this point, incredibly lucky if your wife doesn't just like Doctor Who, because my wife doesn't like Doctor Who, but she also doesn't like me.
This one's just, it's nice and silly and fun. And the historicals are just good. Isn't This one was Gareth Roberts. Who wrote the Dickens one? Gareth Roberts?
No, that was Mark Gatiss, wasn't it?
That was Mark Gatiss, you're right. And it was also nice watching the Confidential cut down, and Graham Harper is a great director, and he is fun seeing him behind the scenes doing stuff, and how he managed to make the world's slowest car chase at least semi-interesting.
Doing is watching.
I didn't know that they had not standardized in 1926. They had not standardized where the accelerator was. The owner of one of the cars was showing, oh, the accelerator is in the middle between the clutch and the brake. Okay. Oh. At least they, both David Tennant and whoever played Agatha Christie, I forgot her name, both knew how to drive stick, though.
Yes. Well, thank you for that, Kirby. There we go. Mary, what did
Mary
you
Mary Blitz, Slam!
What can I say, you know, that's a downer? I mean, I will come up with something here in a second, but overall, it's just fun. Just a fun episode, and it's like...
Oh, my God! Hang on!
It's a Tennant and...
Hang on! That really had me on the op.
Having such fun with this. I will say that the real disappearance of Agatha Christie happened in December of that year, but because we're talking a remote filming, you know, the crew wants to go do this in the summer, so it got conveniently moved to a summer time location.
It was a bit late.
You occasionally have that.
and
warm enough for cocktails on the lawn, at any rate.
Yeah. What's this year?
The one downer thing I have to bring up is something that was going on behind the scenes, is that David Tennant was doing a lot of commuting during this, from the filming set to home, where, you know, he and his wife are having a million babies, Scotland, where his mother was in a hospice.
Yeah.
He's expected to die at any time. So he was just doing a lot of traveling during this, and she did die just before they finished this. So, but you don't see it in his acting at all. But what they did have to do, they had to reorganize a lot of scenes to so that he didn't have to be there for them. So a lot of those interviews, you know, he just has a screen behind him and he's peppering questions in a studio, you know, in London, while all the other people are on set, you know, answering. And as many scenes as they could, they finagled it so that he didn't have to be there, so that he could go through, you know, the troubles with his mother dying. For me, that's the one downer, is knowing that he was probably going through a really tough time
while
he was filming this.
Oh, yeah. What a merry. Oh, thank you very much. Kirby.
Master, yes? Forgive me if someone said this already, but you know one thing the party at the beginning was missing?
What?
Adric going eating everything.
Oh, God. Anyway, you've posted a request for feedback, Anthony. You must have written down somewhere in that request a little bit of feedback. Is that correct?
Actually, we got... Let me see if anyone has posted anything extra. No.
Well, there you
go. We've got Ian Kurtz's script, and then me being pedantic because I was pedantic. I posted a link to the short story that the doctor's referring to, where he was in the Ardennes trying to find Charlemagne, who had been kidnapped by an insane computer. Mm. That's still on the BBC's website. And also, I posted a list of all the novel titles.
For Christ. No wonder nobody bloody Ropote had posted anything.
At least I didn't insist on reading the novel titles.
Okay, right. I'm just looking at it now. There's really not a lot apart from what you've written. In fact, there isn't anything apart from what you've written there at all.
Why did you just not say there wasn't any, rather than say only a little or hardly any?
So none. It would
be
the correct
difference between only a little and none.
Well, I was hoping between the time that we started and that someone had posted something.
God. Okay, we'll move on to the rest of it then. Right then, so what else have we got? We've got this, if I can find the correct, appropriate piece of music, because I really, normally I'm prepping while you're reading that stuff, but now you've really sort of left me in a very awkward situation.
Hey, it's not my fault.
Hello, it's my Hit My Back podcast. Hi. This is Ian Kirk.
Hi, Ian.
Lovely, he's not real, is he? The Unicorn and the Wasp by Gareth Roberts. There are several references to Agatha Christie book titles in this.
Yeah,
Gareth really? Roberts must have a bee in his bonnet. The first is in the pre-credit sequence when Professor Peach says, "Why didn't they ask heavens?" Agatha Christie, like Queen Victoria, is not amused by the Doctor's light-hearted view of monsters. The Colonel in the wheelchair is played by Christopher Benjamin, who was Henry Gordon Jago in The Talons of Wang
Chiang. No, he isn't. We got
really?
That one.
The Firestone is a purple jewel, and when the Wasp appears, it is in a purple glow, which is a clue.
Yes, very good.
We see Donna's face through a magnifying glass. Director Graham Harper has similar shots in two other episodes. Lady Edison is living the good life.
Ah!
I met Felicity Kendall once at a book signing.
Yes.
The other people had her sign a copy of her book and then chatted to her for a minute or two. When she signed mine, I walked away. When I glanced back, she mouthed, "Thank you," and we smiled.
Oh, a lovely story.
Agatha Christie has a memory of the Wasp and the rest of the story wiped from her mind, but the memory of the Wasp returns later. The same happens eventually to Donna.
Spoilers!
Donna looks at the first page of her novel to see the copyright date. She should have looked at the last page to see if the Doctor had torn it out.
It seems
that Agatha Christie travels to Harrogate, North Yorkshire, by TARDIS. Robert Haynes is originally from North Yorkshire.
I was born there.
Next week we might review Silence in the Library. A river runs through it.
No, okay.
That was from episode 141. What?
Master, I need to explain what just happened. He must have sent you a second...
That's why I played it.
Yes. What happened was, you'll notice that his transcript on Facebook is different.
Yes.
I ran across where he had emailed me the transcript from 9 years ago.
Right.
And I, about 12 this afternoon, I messaged him and said, "Hey, why not use this one?"
Oh, gosh.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, it's Ian Kirk.
With a deeper voice.
The Unicorn and the Wasp by Gareth Roberts. Perhaps the jewel thief is called the Unicorn because they are hard to catch. The Unicorn is played by Felicity Jones.
No, it isn't.
Whose middle name is Rose.
Ooh.
Just a coincidence. Ooh. Just a coincidence. Probably. As this is set at a gathering into stately home in the 1920s, it is compared to the Black Orchid in the Fifth Doctor's era.
Yes.
The Wasp is half-human, whereas the killer in the previous story was a demented human. Instead of an unlikely perfect resemblance to Nyssa, we have an equally unbelievable shape-shifting alien hybrid. The special effects have improved since the Zabi. The Doctor says that Agatha Christie is the best-selling author of all time. Well, it is a fantasy science fiction TV show. I've been rereading The Martian, which is about an astronaut stranded on Mars. He has the crew's laptops. One of them has the complete works of Agatha Christie. One of them has the complete works of Agatha Christie.
Yes.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Double bill.
Yes.
Double feature.
Yes. Yes, Kurt.
Are you glad that I had him send the other one, even though I had that strange thing at the end?
No. Right. I didn't
expect him to send the other one. But
yes. Well, thank you.
You're so pedantic.
That filled a gap, didn't it? Right then. Mary, I sent you some blurb to dictate.
Yes. Linda and Terry Miles. And they write, The Doctor and Donna arrive in England in 1926. The Doctor invites himself to a dinner party where one of the guests is Agatha Christie. The Doctor gushes that he loves her books, and Donna gets starstruck. As with all stories involving Agatha Christie, there are a few strange murders and a thief called the Unicorn. Just after the Colonel died, I guessed who the Wasp was because I remembered the Vicar did it. Well, he did look shifty. The Doctor says he is from Scotland Yard, and Donna is his plucky assistant. This one is a typical base under siege. Did Donna scream when the Wasp attacked her? I think that's the one and only time she ever screams. Catherine Tate, as always, was brilliant in this and should still be with the Doctor. Yeah, I agree. I'd love that. I could just imagine her face when the Doctor regenerated into a female.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Is that wizard?
Didn't see how the Unicorn managed to steal the necklace, but Ms. Redmond, played by Felicity Jones, did look just as shifty as the Vicar. Loved the way Felicity changed her accent when rumbled to a Dick Dyke Cockney. Yet again, a Doctor Who story that links in with true life. Linda and myself enjoyed this one, as we only saw Death on the Nile the other day. And this the Christie story.
Reminded me of.
Yeah. Thank you, Kel.
Next up, a two-parter. Silence in the Library.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yes, that, apparently Debbie promised that next time we did Silence in the Library, that she'd chain Isla to a chair to get her to watch it.
Yes. Here we go. She hates the Vashti Narada. She's really wary of the adipose, and she absolutely hates Are You My Mummy?
yeah, that's pretty scary too, yeah.
But she doesn't mind so much about the angels.
Oh, well, they're good. Anyway, right then, so, sorry, were you going to say something, Kirby?
I just looked up 11 days is how long Agatha Christie was missing.
Oh, well, thank you for
that. You said a number of days.
Yeah, a number of days, three of them accounted for on Doctor Who.
Okay, so I think it's time for an appropriate theme tune. I was going to fade out at that point, but I couldn't find the fader. Yes, it's a Ben going to do some blurb from Mr. Councillor Butcher Tea.
Hold on.
Oh, I thought you were ready.
Before I attempt this, let me first take a swig of my drink. Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. Lovely. Yum. Right, if you don't... Seriously, Coke aren't too far away from me. They could quite easily send me many cases just for that.
Stop latching on to Alan's feedback for promo.
It's product placement, actually. Councillor Alan T. Butcher's feedback, sponsored by Coca-Cola. See, I could get the I could get the voiceover work as well. Works for everybody. Right, here we go. I've got my two pairs of glasses on. I can now see my screen. And let's go. Jago's military twin, or Agatha Christie's Vicarousting. Yes. Dear 20 megabytes. See, that wasn't the glasses. That's me just not being able to read words. Dear 20 megabytes. I can read most words. It's just that some words, you know, they're ones I haven't seen.
Well, the English ones, you mean?
Yeah.
Alan words, exactly.
Alan has swallowed a dictionary, you know.
He's not just a dictionary, he's a thesaurus.
Right, Adam.
Yeah, I know, I've got it in front of me. Thank you.
Yeah, are you ready? Yes. So, as I say that whilst, that's when you hit the button, yeah?
And yes.
And Kirby, I need you this week.
Master?
That's very good. Right, after the phrase should recognise, you'll be able to pick it up. Okay, here we go. I love these on-air production meetings.
People get to see behind the scenes of how to get it right.
It's not so much behind the scenes, it's more like right in the U-bend of the toilet. But, you know. Each to their own. The Unicorn and the Wasp is, of course, a closely studied exposition of the importance of honest and openness in interpersonal relationships. Basically, if you hold back important aspects of your life, such as being an overlarge insecticidal alien life form, then it could go badly and people might get hurt. It should be noted that whilst... did you stop it early?
No.
No, he did it right.
In that case, it must have been my dodgy internet, because that went, some might say... No.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely your dodgy internet.
I should have known it wasn't your technical inability.
It sounded great, this then.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. In that case, now I feel a fool for interrupting myself. that a wasp of that the size in this story is a physical impossibility on Earth and could not walk, breathe, and let alone fly at the scale shown. In fact, such complainants should recognise that Doctor Who is in fact a
science fiction fantasy TV program.
Nope, it was show. You got that bit wrong. Never mind.
Well, it's close enough to me.
All right.
And the precedent of the web planet makes oceans of room for the events in this story. We also learn that Jan Erso did, in fact, escape from Scarif after the successful mission plans and made her way to a galaxy far, far away a long, long time later. Sub-Order and the Unicorn. when it cut right, I think we need to clip that bit and send it in podcast award. Contributor of the day. That's very good. Alan's sitting at home now going, well, great, well, I've now got high praise indeed. Anyway, brilliant. All in all, The Unicorn and the Wasp is another highly enjoyable, albeit a clunky story, which nevertheless...
that was quite easy, but I could say that, but nevertheless...
Nevertheless constitutes it wasn't even a hard word. Nevertheless constitutes a decent pastiche of the literary form of its central character. The most outstanding thing about the production is its immaculate guest cast working with such an outstanding TARDIS crew. Also, being another episode celebrating a great author, it made a great addition to one of the noble facets of the Davis era. This story is perhaps two episodes too short, as even without Vaseline, well, that changed. Such a stellar cast could have done much more with the same running time that was even managed in the Web Planet back in 1964.
Yes.
Next up, Doctor Who and the Body in the Library, or the Hello, Sweetie, and Goodbye. Those are my thoughts. The wondrous, bewildering, unparalleled Alan T. Butcher, Ricky!
You do him proud.
Yes. Thank you.
I do him whenever you are.
You don't stumble half as much as I do, but you do stop to read ahead and distract us all.
I just remember that. After finding the love theme from Romeo and Juliet a few weeks ago, and I put a little post up for anybody who found love through a mutual admiration of Doctor Who, got absolutely nothing back. That's so typical of this podcast.
No, but I've kind of forced Tom into really, really liking it and cosplaying as 10.
Oh, hang on. Ben's supposed to be reading that bit out, though, but it's not long enough for me to... Oh, can you do that? Be a bit more in-depth about that story, Deb.
What do you mean?
Go on, then. Here we go. Oh, God, it stopped. Hang on, let's try that again.
When he married me, I realised what he was getting.
Oh, dear.
Tom was an unfortunate son. Firstly, living on the Isle of Wight. Secondly, bumping into Debbie Nay Melrose. One day, it was decided that they would go cosplay. Tom didn't want to, but Debbie insisted.
You won't have no tea, you, if you don't do what I say.
One day, Debbie said. Tom, being the submissive type who, like most husbands, just wanted an easy life, said, all right, darling, I'll do what you wish, hoping one day, you know, we might never know, he might even... Hey, fathers. Debbie laughed at this suggestion. Said, you're dressing up as number 10 if it's the last thing you do. And it was the last thing he did, as Tom is now buried underneath the patio. And for Debbie, we play this song. Beatles, I want to hold your hand.
He really didn't know what he was walking into when he. I said, I really.
When you hit him with the shovel.
Thanks.
Oh, damn.
So I'm up with suggestions in your head.
Yeah, he had no idea what.
Debbie is unavailable for the next 15 years for the podcast.
Yeah, sorry, Debbie is now in strength.
Somehow I get lagged into it because I made put the suggestion in your head.
Yeah, you've got 6 years for coercion.
Yeah. It's all right. I'll still be out before Adam does the final podcast and leaves.
I'm still enthralled to hear the next part of the story, Deb. He never knew what he was letting himself in for.
Because suddenly, you know, just out of boxes that had been packed for a while would come... a Doctor Who figurine, a Dalek, or...
Was it a blue box?
No, unfortunately, I wasn't that clever. And then he's suddenly surrounded by a geekdom, and Doctor Who's on all the time, and it's not just Star Wars or Star Trek or all sorts, you know, I'm into so much stuff, but Doctor Who is...
Was he not into Doctor Who then?
He is now.
Well, no, he is now.
He wasn't as into it. I mean, he was very aware of, like, season 10 and, 9 and 10, but then he went back to sea and didn't catch the others. And yeah, he just didn't... He lost interest sort of late Matt Smith era.
In later life, Debbie started making up the excuse that Tom had gone to sea.
I wish he blooming well would again. He's such a grump.
Oh, Deb.
Oh, he likes his sea. He's got his sea legs, has he? He likes being at sea. He don't like being on the land. He doesn't trust his land.
Instead of sails them. Does a bloody good job.
Why would you want to trust those people who walk around on the land?
Trust them with sea legs, yar.
Arr, you need your sea legs if you're going to live on either way.
So does everyone in Cornwall sound like that?
Yeah, absolutely everybody. Everybody.
Pirates of Penzance.
And in sort of the
of
Bristol area.
Pirates of Penzance.
Well, at the Bristol area. And anyway, where to get up to? I was going to do
the
something.
One that goes, three little girls from school, are we?
No, that's the Ricardo sweetness.
Has it got anything to do with Penzance?
No. That's Japan.
Anywhere
in
Cornwall?
It's
in my priority jingle folders all over the place.
Might have been on a stage in Cornwall, but...
That'll do me, then. There's the link.
Tenuous.
You keep filling while I look around for jingles.
Tenuous is still linkable.
Actually, we play a game called Tenuous Links, where you have to say words that
Tenable.
Completely don't link, but if you can find a link, you win the point. It's a great...
Ooh, I bet I'd be good at that.
Anyway, it's now time for...
What you've been trying to find?
Yeah.
He has to go back to 1985 to get it.
And finally.
Doctor Who News! What do you mean, oh my?
Ready?
What? Yeah,
we've been
8 to 9 by the time we do this.
We've only been doing doubles lately, haven't we? Come on.
Right, Doctor Who News. We've got Pirate Planet to be released on vinyl, Kirby. Yes, there's a rather snazzy-looking vinyl record. It says,
like
fit in the CD player.
Demon really Records are to release the latest of their vinyl Who collection of Doctor Who TV soundtracks on the 18th of March. There you go, Kirby. That's one for you to put your hand in your pocket for. Don't tell the missus. Stuart Bevan.
Well, I've got vinyl here. I've got Doctor Who the Music. And what else?
The musical, not really the musical.
No, just the music. It's from the BBC Records and Tapes, and also I have here Genesis of the Daleks.
Thank you.
You have David Tennant sings Robbie Williams.
And I bought these back a long, long time ago.
Did you?
This 1983. Oh, one of them says 1979.
Colin Baker sings the Sex Pistols.
Kirby's trying his hardest to bore us. Time to make a cup of tea. You know.
Now he's going to ignore us. Maybe you will go for a wee-wee.
Right, Stuart Bevan has passed away. He is an actor, and he was 73, and he appeared in the 1973 story The Green Death, playing Professor Clifford Jones. So he's the one who took lovely Joe away to the Amazon or wherever it was. And he had a... Yeah.
And weren't they married for a while?
Yeah, in real life they were, yeah.
I didn't know. Mary! Full of facts. See, that's how you do it, Kirby. One itching arm.
Proper facts, Kirby.
Yeah, he's been in loads of other stuff, which I'm not going to mention, but a sad loss. He's not that old, really. 73 is not that old. 73 is like the new 50, isn't it, really? Henry Lincoln, who died at the age of writer. He died at the age of 91. And he was the last surviving writer to have worked on Doctor Who in the 1960s. He wrote three Doctor Who stories, co-creating the Yeti and the character Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart. So,
yay!
He's got that to his name. Celestial Toy Room Annual 2022, the Doctor Who Appreciation Society, DOAS, has released a limited-run hardback version of their 2022 annual Celestial Toy Room. The hardback book, initially available as a download, is A5, runs over 140 A5 colour pages, and contains items covering every story of the 11th Doctor era. That's £25. I wonder if they sell that at whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Unit Operation Wildcat and Other Stories Update. Candy Jar is adding a further four stories to the lineup in the previously announced Unit Files Operation Wildcat and Other Stories, with new stories from established writers John Peel and Chris Lynch. I thought John Peel used to be a DJ on Radio 1, but then he passed away. Anyway, plus two new writers to the series. I'm not going to read the titles, but there's quite a few. It's a prolific range that these Lethbridge Stewart and Wildcat thingies. So if you like that sort of thing, that's what to get. Record Store Day, Dead Air. Demon Records are to release the 10th Doctor audio adventure, Dead Air, for the next Record Store Day event on the 23rd of April 2022, originally released in 2010. This new vinyl pressing of the story, written by James Goss and narrated by David Tennant, will be across two 120-gram Soundwave green vinyl discs.
Oh,
again,
lovely.
There you go. Don't tell the missus, but that's another one for you to get.
Yeah, don't tell the husband in my case.
Totally Tasteless, new reprint available. 10 Acre Films is releasing a limited edition reprint of Richard Marston's revealing biography of Doctor Who's 1980s producer, John Nathan Turner. That's quite a good thing to get. I thought that was an extra in one of the DVDs once upon a time, but maybe not. 330 pages, a softcover book, is limited to 250 copies. That will sell out. And is released on the 14th of March 2022 and available to order from 10 Acre Films. So, again, don't tell the Mrs. Kirby, but that's another one for you to get your mitts on.
I think I've got an electronic version of that
already.
I'll
get the normal one. DWCA News. Zerinza Volume 5 Data Extract. The Doctor Who Club of Australia. Notice it's a club in Australia, it's a society in Britain, isn't it? So Doctor Who Club of Australia have released a fifth volume of their Zerinza yearbook series. Don't know what that's all about, but if you're in Australia, I'm sure you do. Right then. Doctor Who Magazine 575, another pamphlet you can get from whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
And it features a friend of the show, Peter Davison, on the cover.
He was Doctor Who, you know.
Yes, and also he was Doctor Who's father-in-law and himself too, which is a strange scenario. The results of DWM's World Cup of the Fifth Doctor, which saw his 20 television stories pitted against each other in a series of polls on Twitter. So that's quite
that one. How do you get 20 down to all winner?
I don't know. Craze of Androzani is likely to be at the top of that one somewhere.
Maybe that about to be some sort of Champions League format where some of them.
Yeah.
Because you can't just do a straight knockout of 20. It doesn't work.
Right, I've got an idea for you, by the way, Ben.
Maybe that's a prelim where two played two and that left you with 16. And that left you with 18, so you'd have 4v4. Yeah, about 4v4, get down to your prelim, then you're a round of 16, and then you put
God.
did worry about things like that.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got an idea for you, by the way, Ben.
Concerning, yeah. Ben. When you want to see a pattern.
Ben.
Yeah, I was just talking.
I've got an idea for you. And you know I need to express this before I forget it. So I was listening to a sports channel called Talk Sport the other day. Oh, which I listened to an awful lot, but it's a very good channel.
Did they talk sport on this?
Obviously.
It's all pop music. They talk nothing but pop music.
Yeah. Anyway, they have been doing this long. Like, Hawksby and Jacobs have been doing this long-term game, which is obviously a good format because it was running before Isabella was born when I used to work at Morrison's. So I've got this idea that you sort of adapt it for the show because I haven't got time to write these particular questions. And that the game is, it's a Doctor Who person whose birthday has fallen within one of our shows in the previous one. Or maybe the show we're doing in the next one. And the people, other than you, because you have the questions, have to guess how old they are. And the person will win the quiz thingy who's got the lowest score. So say somebody says, oh, Fred Bloggs is 75, and they get it right. That's a zero. But they say Fred Bloggs is 20, and he's actually 75. They get points, which then will... Do you know what I mean?
So basically what you're saying is I find people who have been in Doctor Who in the week or weeks between we record.
Yeah,
and then you guess their ages and you get points according to how good your guess is.
How close you are to it, yes.
Okay, that's doable.
Oh, we'll go for that then. And I'll pretend I invented it as well. Right then, that will then...
I did say that
you get that right.
Huh? It is probably far enough away from it to not be sued. But, you know... what was his name? Simon Mayo, when he was on Radio 1, he's a British DJ for all the Americas and Australians listening.
Simon Mayo,
Did something called Dead or Alive, where he had a caller on it, and he had five people who I think it was their birthday on that day, and you had to say whether they were dead or alive.
Well, I
adapted that to birthday or death day, which I thought was absolute genius.
Yeah,
and
brilliant.
It works exactly the same way. Apart from you asked a different question about the same people.
That's your mission. Because that'll be unusually. That'll be something I'll be able to take part in. That's the first time actually has really happened that much since Debbie occasionally compiled the quiz for us a while back. But and it's something that's not going to be too painful for people to do, and it installs a bit of a quizzy nature to the show that we've been lacking for a while. Hey, Mary.
I take it all the research hours are going to be paid at the usual fixed fee.
Yes, that's exactly right. Exactly right. And finally,
the amount of zeros on that check.
Yeah, exactly. One.
It's just zeros. It's like seven.
Yes. World Book Day, Kindle Books for Candy Jar. Candy Jar Books have announced a number of book titles available to download for free on Kindle as part of World Book Day 2022, which took place on the 3rd of March. The offer features a number of their children's books, including From Lucy Wilson Mysteries. Oh, sorry, The Lucy Wilson Mysteries. And From Today also includes some titles from the Lethbridge Stewart series. Take note, Debbie. Crumble Lady, Jack Flynn, The House on March Lane, Revenge of the Cannibal Chickens, Those Kids Next Door, The Battle Begins, Tommy Parker, Destiny Will Find You, Becky Bloomsfield, The Mission Piece, I Was a Teenage Spy, Something I Should Know. That sounds like a Carly song. It was Duran Duran, wasn't it? The Lucy Wilson Mysteries, there's three of those. And Lethbridge Stewart, there's four of those. So, yeah, I think quite get them for free, Deb. Get them for free.
I know.
And that includes Doctor Who News. I should get a round of applause. Right.
Yay.
Doctor Who weather now.
Yes. Well, if it's done in this country, rain. Rain.
And then road conditions, yes.
Whoan.co.uk has those magazines.
Whoan.co.uk?
And stuff that I mentioned. I'm just going to have a look because obviously the website does specialise in books. So I'm just going to see if they have actually got any of those publications I previously mentioned. They've still got the 2022 annual book called Age of Chaos by Colin Baker. Hey. A classic Sixth Doctor adventure here at last, written by Doctor himself, Colin Baker. I didn't know he'd written one.
You missed there that, you did you? Okay.
There you go. $16.99 from whoan.co.uk. And, of course, friend of the show, Sophie Aldred, at childhoods, at that book that we got her talking about on the show.
I must say, as I said to her when you interviewed her, hearing her read it, it's just brilliant. Yes. I've listened to it over and over again.
Yes.
Because it's just lovely.
She does. She characterises everybody brilliantly, yes. In the Blood, which is looks like a 10th Doctor story, and Ruby's Curse by Alex Kingston. She's been not a friend of the show, but I have met her. Coming soon, the Fourth Doctor... I spat then when I said that, so I hope that didn't come out on the video. Fourth Doctor 11.1 Solo. K-Doc Point. Torchwood story, which doesn't count because there's no John Barrowman in it. And Lone Centurion 2. Ooh, hang on. It's a curious cover. Oh, it's got Rory on it. So it's
he's the Lone Centurion.
Yes, I've met him too. Don't be cheeky, Debbie. That's my. There's only one Debbie. There's only one Debbie in my life that's allowed to be cheeky. Lost Stories 6.3, Mind of the Hodiak. That features Bonnie Langford and Colin Baker. Surprise, Bonnie. Is she not in EastEnders anymore or something? I actually got time to do that. Ninth Doctor Adventures, Old Friends, featuring Eccleston. And
they're not on set all day, every day, if they're not in parts of the show. She could get time out to go and record somewhere.
Live in the houses in EastEnders, don't they?
That's all I'm going to talk about. Hang on, what's coming soon? What's coming up now? Any figures? I'm just having a quick look. Oh, there's nothing there. I just clicked on the latest products page. There's literally nothing there. So that concludes.
Oh,
look into whowon.co.uk.
Adam, yeah? We've not done it. What's on the feed?
I know, I'm just moving to the next page, and then I shall have a quick dip into the feed, which says as follows. Right, nothing. No, hang on. Robert Vench Jr., in the review, you say you like the Wasp. Hang on, let's say that again. In the review, you didn't say you liked the Wasp. Didn't we? The Wasp was okay. It reminded me of the Wasp from the old Donkey Kong Donkey Kong Country game, actually, to be fair. And
it reminded me of the CGI of the Bane.
You said that.
Isn't it in Sega, you know, the original Sonic the Hedgehog, there was a wasp like that?
No, I thought that was Donkey Kong Country. I may be wrong. I know there was a wasp in Donkey Kong Country, which was really cool and looked a bit like that. Robert Vence Jr. says the Prist looked a little like Peter Davis, and I felt like it was like a Fifth Doctor story. I suppose.
I said that.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he
did.
He so easily wound up. Lavazzi. I nearly forgot to do Lavazzi. Join their blog.
You know, I've been very disappointed with this winter. It has not been cold enough for me to wear my scarf.
You should still wear it anyway.
Yes, they do scarves.
I hardly ever go anywhere.
It's plenty cold up here, so you can ship your scarf up to me.
Yeah.
Kirby, is it like a long top, like the long Tom Baker one, yeah?
Yes, it's a Lavarzi scarf.
Well, yeah. In that case, wear it as a mankini.
Oh.
Well, I used it as one of those table, you know, when you put like a strip across the table to make it look posh. I did that once at a convention. Yes, Doctor
Who. And it looked like you put a scarf on the table.
Sorry, Lavazzi have a Doctor Who blog and also a newsletter with lots and lots of information about the show. And also they sell scarves and stuff, but they also sell Star Trek merchandise, men and women's normal scarves that don't have any embroidering sort of franchises on it, and they're well worth a look around for
I still want to get the Pandorica open scarf.
Well, get it then.
I'm going to get that eventually.
What, before they delist it, or?
Well, hopefully.
Right. Okay, we now move on to the. Actually, I was going to stay. I'm a bit of an exclusive. Now, I'm not promising anything, but we have been trying very hard to get FantasyCon up and running for 2022, and in conjunction or in association with Wessex Cancer Trust, and but we're just struggling to get a location at the moment. So we are trying to get it going. We've even got the potential of guests lined up for it, so things are in the pipeline. Hopefully by the time we next record, I'll have something a bit more positive, but obviously Deb doesn't want it to happen, but
have we got a host
signed up.
I'm not sure, because the trouble is, where
didn't mention anything about the host.
Not yet, no, because I have to be careful there, because I won't discuss it online. But Wessex Cancer Trust might have their own potential host already lined up. I don't know.
Well, hopefully, that means that Ben gets his own room and he
doesn't. No, I reckon Ben should just come over anyway, by way of just being Ben.
What, and watch someone else?
No, not me, bro. I'd have you every time. I'd have you every time, dear.
It would be like...
Oh, God, here we go.
It would be like Peter Davidson turning up and watching Colin Baker play the Doctor.
Yes, well, let's see what happens. It's embryonic at the moment, but we're trying very hard to get something going for the 5th of November. Right then, so now we... I know we haven't got anything yet. It's just a desperate effort to get something up and running. Right. Yes. So what I watched since the last, you know, I'm not going to mention too much about the stuff I had to watch on the telly, like Da Vinci Code, which I didn't think was too bad. When I said I watched it and quite enjoyed it, Isabella just said it was a load of rubbish.
Have you seen that before?
No, but I have now. I quite enjoyed it. I also, but I liked it specifically because I was watching a series, you may have watched it, Deb, about these two gentlemen who have a shed full of very priceless antiquities, shall we say, including stuff from the Knights Templar, which apparently never didn't exist, but they just happened to have it in their shed. But not only do they have genuine Knights Templar stuff, and they went around the world sort of, you know, soaking up information about the Knights Templar and other artifacts and stuff like that. So, and also they had things connected, obviously Knights Templar is connected to the subject matter of the Da Vinci Code, and there were other things about that too, and they told the stories of the St. Clair family and their potential descendancy from Mary Magdalene, etc., etc. So it sort of inspired me to watch.
I haven't seen that.
Because
no,
I did
no,
start
no.
reading the book and I fell asleep, so I couldn't get into the book. But the film was actually quite good. What do you think, Deb?
The book was preachy. I've never seen the film.
Oh, okay, that's quite good. If you like, if you're interested in all that historical,
I am very interested in all that. That was why I was so upset when I started reading it. It was like I was being told off, and I don't like that when authors do that.
Oh no, I don't.
I couldn't get through the whole book.
You know? No, I couldn't.
It was treating you too stupidly, and that wasn't fair.
I couldn't get.
Led by the nose.
I got a chapter and a half, Deb, when I read it, and I stopped. But the film's okay. The film's okay. But it was particularly interesting having watched. I can't remember what it's called, Deb. The series. It is available to download.
I'll have a look for that, because that sounds like something Tom and I would like
it's
to watch.
Brilliant. There's two series. One is the Knights Templar stuff, and the most recent series. You know that Dan? Is it Dan Brown, the chap with the tattoos and walks in slow motion a lot? He does the first series about the Knights Templar stuff, and you know that Janina Ramirez, she does the second series. A very enthusiastic.
Walks in slow motion.
She does a bit of slow motion walking, but she doesn't quite do it as good as Dan Brown does. But you'll know what I'm talking about when you watch the series. And if I can remember what it's called, that would be great.
Yeah, let me know, because I'd be interested in that. We've been watching a lot of bits and bobs like that lately.
Bits and bobs. Anyway, so right, what I've been watching, apart from Da Vinci Code and those stuff this week, this last couple of weeks, I beg your pardon. So I went to see Dog, which is a film featuring a chap called Channing Tatum. I've never heard of him before. Anyway, and A Dog. And it's quite a charming film, essentially about post-traumatic stress of a person and a dog, and mutual curing of the mental sickness, what do you call it, mental illness, both the dog and this character had throughout the film. It's quite charming. If it's your cup of tea and you like that stuff like that, it's not like A Dog's Journey and Dog's Purpose, which are both brilliant films. It's a bit more cheerful than that, but yeah, that's worth having a little dip into. No science fiction involved whatsoever, but quite very light-hearted in some ways. We went to see a film called The Batman on Friday night.
How was that? Everybody's saying that was brilliant.
I stayed awake for it. Deb stayed awake for it, which is remarkable because she normally falls asleep at that time of night anyway. It's 3 hours long. They forgot to turn the lights on. That's the only thing. I noticed that I've never been to a film late at night and then walked out and nearly got blinded by the lights in the corridor outside the thing. It was very dark and had a dark thing to it as well, but The story's quite good. The acting's amazing. Robert Pattinson, wow, he was absolutely superb as Batman, Bruce Wayne. And Andy
like
Serkis.
Was,
what?
Does he sparkle like a vampire?
He looks a bit vampire-ish, actually. Very pale makeup.
You know,
but
that was,
in the pale, in the light of the pale blue moon light.
I don't know. Anyway, what I'm saying is, if you like Batman,
he's from the Twilight movies originally.
Yeah, well done. Well done, Kirby. And he was also in one of the Harry Potters. Right. Yes, if you like Batman and DC and stuff like that, it's a must watch. I'm not into the sort of dark, sort of dreary DC stuff. I like stuff like The Suicide Squad and Shazam and stuff like that. I find them a bit more uplifting, a bit more entertaining. But this is exceptionally dark. It's very Gotham-y, which is... But they've done a really good job. It's certainly probably a better reboot than I've seen of other things. It's very well directed, if you like your sort of action and stuff like that, and character wise it's really, really good. So if you like Batman, go and see it. And the other thing we watched on Saturday afternoon was a film called The Duke, featuring Dame Helen Mirren and future Sir Jim Broadbent.
That
true
looks
story.
Amazing. I'd love to see that.
It is amazing. It's a brilliant, it's a true story, and very lovingly sort of brought to the screen for us to enjoy. Yeah, great film. And it's reminded me a little bit of Belfast, but Belfast a bit more serious. Actually quite a lot more serious, actually, to be fair, but there's a similar sort of feel to it. Probably because it was sort of Duke is 60s, Belfast 70s. And excuse me. Yeah, so that's what I've been watching at the cinema this week. We also watched a film called... it was a Disney film with music and magic in it. What was it called? Deb Encanto. You watched that. That's quite good as well.
I finally saw that one.
I don't fancy watching it a second time, but I do.
Oh, gosh. Yes. You have to watch it millions of times.
No, that's what Isabella does.
So see, Debbie, I'm not the only one.
So, Ben, have you been watching anything interesting apart from... tributes to the wonderful Shane Warne over the last... I'm talking about the wonderful Shane Warne. It's so ironic that last week I was lying in bed with COVID watching one of the best documentary films I've seen of anybody, and it was about Shane Warne, and a week later he's dead. It's absolutely ridiculous. Well, anyway, carry on.
You killed it.
Firstly, I need you to find a piece of music that would do well for a traffic and travel update, as
oh,
I have.
Oh, for God's sake. I've only got one. I've only got the one I play for a news round.
Well,
that'll
do.
I'll go on then.
That'll be fine, yeah. Okay, it's getting a bit busy as you head through Sector 23 around the Dale Bong region. This is due to a Dalek Starfleet planning an invasion. That should be open around tea time. The Intergalactic Highway 7 users need to take care around Hyojab 34. This is due to the remnants of an exploding star all over the lanes. And finally, hyperspace flying is restricted in the Quag region of the Plumtong Alpha. This is due to updating the lighting on the pavements, or sidewalks for the Americans. More intergalactic travel news next week.
Is that it? So you haven't been watching anything? It's basically what you're saying, isn't
it? Yes, I have. Oh. I've just written some intergalactic travel news as you've been talking because it was more interesting.
I right, find so, a song called Git.
That's a bit bitchy.
I'm only joking. Right, so the main thing we've been watching in the last 6.5 months since we last recorded a podcast was the BBC programme that's now on Netflix called Mrs. Wilson, which is all to do with a lady whose husband dies and then his life of what he was getting up to slowly unravels in front of her. And it's absolutely fantastic. Only 3 episodes long, and it stars, I think, the granddaughter of the person who it all happened to. It was something like that, but... That was really good. I've been watching loads of old episodes of the British Music Institution, Top of the Pops, from BBC Four. I think they're doing 1992 at the moment. So I've been watching loads of them. Loads of snooker, loads of darts, loads of cricket. Obviously, as you've just mentioned, Shane Warne, absolutely devastated by his death. I love that he's my second favourite cricketer of all time.
Yeah, he's me too. My favourite one being Ian Botham.
Oh, God, absolutely. Ping, ping, snap. Yeah, totally. I was absolutely gutted on Friday afternoon because he was just a wonderful cricketer, a brilliant bloke. And, yeah, he had his scandals, but, you know...
My granddad taught John Botham, Ian Botham.
Wow, that's a good claim to fame.
That's a good claim to fame.
Yeah.
My dad taught Laura Turner, the female golfer, not how to play golf. Believe me, she'd have won bugger all if my dad had taught her how to play golf. Anyway, so then Friday afternoon sat in my studio for about 3 hours in floods of tears, watching all the stuff about Shane Bourne, who was found unresponsive in his bed, only to then find out the next day that one of my school friends who I grew up with was found unresponsive dead in his bed as well. So I've had a really shocking 24 hours. Add to that, in the last fortnight, it's been announced that the BBC / Channel 5 / Fremantle media programme
got rid of Neighbours, yes,
is being cancelled.
Absolute travesty.
Not that I've watched it in like the last 20 years, but I watched it a lot when I was younger.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, I watched it ironically with my friend who died. Anyway, I'm going to get off there. I'm going to start blubbing. But Neighbours, it's been an absolute institution for 37 years. I watched it many, many, many years growing up. We used to bunk off the first 10 minutes of afternoon school.
I used to get tapes sent from Australia because we're 6 months behind to get future episodes.
Right.
Actually, we were 18 months behind to start with, and because they used to take a much longer Christmas break and we used to didn't take one, that's how we caught them up over the time.
I remember catching up.
And then there was only one episode that they put out in Britain before it had been played in Australia. It's only happened one time in all of the nearly 9,000 episodes. Anyway, it's brought many, many great memories over the years. Like most soap operas, it has got quite crap in the last 10 years, but that's because the way telly is viewed and has changed so much. It's not the soap opera's fault, it's the way that people view soap operas now. So it's about time it ends. EastEnders needs to follow very, very quickly.
Yeah, it's too miserable, EastEnders.
Dire moment.
It is.
I think the best way to end Neighbours would... There's two ways. Either the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy way, which is they're going to build an intergalactic superhighway through Ramsey Street. Some people might say that's a bit far-fetched. I'm not so sure. I think they could probably pull it off. Hey, look, if Bouncer can get married in a dream, they can knock a few houses down for an intergalactic highway. Or the second way, which is the Simpsons way. Now, a couple of months ago, Matt Groening, I think it was, said that if they were ever going to end The Simpsons, the way that they'd end it is the last scene would be them going to the Springfield Fair, which was the first scene of the first episode. So then you're stuck in a time loop forever.
That's what I was just about to suggest for Neighbours. They should have Jason Donovan come up and step out of the shower and say and just say the whole of
that.
Can
you remember the first scene? You probably can't remember the first scene. But the very first scene was actually Shane Ramsey walking down a driveway, and they have got Peter O'Brien, who plays Shane Ramsey, coming back to film the last couple of episodes. So I wonder if that's exactly what they're going to do. Either that, or they've got to make it, I don't know, maybe bring it right up to date. And
will be him walking through Ramsey Street, looking at each house and seeing all the people who've lived there over the years. And, and that'll be how they do it.
Do you remember how they ended Desperate Housewives? Do you remember how they ended that? That'd be a nice way of doing it, because it's a similar sort of cul-de-sac. Oh, wait, I'll shut up then.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's another way to end it. Or...
Let's bring it back to Doctor.
No, just bring back all the Hollywood stars that have come out of Neighbours. Just come back for like a last episode cameo, including Kylie and Jason.
Might be coming back.
Oh yeah.
So, that could be quite good.
But viewers,
I like the idea, because if you get all the old ones back, you can do the stuck in a time loop thing, and I think that's a beautiful way of finishing it, because it then just runs forever, doesn't it? In
well, Jim Robinson's still alive, isn't he? The actor Alan Dale.
Stuck in a time loop. That'd be cool.
Alan Dale.
Yeah, he's still alive, isn't he? And he looks much the same as he did when he played Jim Robinson.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
He looks younger than he did when he played Jim Robinson somehow.
And Guy Pearce and people like that.
And the other way of doing it, I think, is the... and this could also be a very favourite way of doing it. is a Dallas-style ending. Well, even though Dallas didn't end like this, technically.
Or Dynasty, where everybody just gets massacred.
You can, well, if you, everyone who watched it knew right at the beginning, well, not right at the beginning, but when it got popular, you had Kylie and Jason, and then you had Mike and Plain Jane Superbrain, who, again, is back in it at the moment.
Oh, right.
So you could have either Kylie or maybe even bring back Madge from the dead. have them waking up in bed, hearing the shower, going to the shower, and seeing, you know, someone who's not been in it for 30 years saying, oh, it's all been a dream. Are you all right? And
that'd be good.
The whole thing has been a dream for 30 years. Or it could be Bouncer's dream. That's
dream.
Anyway, I suppose we better move
CGI
on.
CGI you've got now, you could easily make them all young again.
I suppose we better move on.
Yes, we probably should. Yes,
Debbie?
Well, there's still three people to go through, so yeah.
Well, before you, sorry, Deb. Before you say anything, sorry, Deb. Lillian Robbins said, I loved Encanto, and then says I watch Encanto a couple of times a week. Away you go, Debbie.
Well, yeah, same here. Encanto has been on quite a lot, but I have actually watched quite a bit of Doctor Who this week. I've had a lot of insomnia, so I've been watching Classic, and I decided just to go back to Patrick Troughton, watch a few.
I hate to break you.
It's just been.
Did you find him?
Sorry?
Did you find him?
Patrick Troughton?
Yeah, you went back to Patrick. I'm afraid I think you found he might have passed away.
He's
an imposter, probably.
We found a program early on in the week. I don't know, can't remember what media it was on, but it's James May putting back together. Bits and bobs, like he this one was a very old
fashioned reassembler. It's called the reassembler.
And it's just him in a shed putting it back together, and it was oddly soothing. It was really nice.
very
good.
A lawnmower, old fashioned lawnmower was the one we watched, and it's just an hour of watching him put it back together, and it's so nice.
He does a little mini motorbike. He does a record player.
Oh, cool.
He does an old 70s style Kenwood food blender. They're all. He says really therapeutic, isn't it?
It is.
All the bits on the table.
Really nice
and he does. I think it has a Hornby train set as well.
It sounds a bit like that series that Richard Hammond is on Discovery Plus, where he takes over this sort of doing up cars business as well. So.
It was just really therapeutic. We've also been catching up. There's been a currently running show on iPlayer about Dunkirk, which has been absolutely fascinating.
About Ian Kirk?
I love baseball.
Hang on, something very important has just appeared on the live feed, Deb. Sorry to interrupt you, but I think you'll understand why I'm interrupting, because I think it's appropriate. But I quite liked my Ian Kirk joke then. I'd just like to emphasise it. But Kirk Bright says, hello, 20 meg... Hang on, I think I'll say what he says, Kirby, and then you can do the impression.
No.
He says, hello, 20 megabiters. Go on, Kirby, away you go.
Hello. I'm not prepared.
Someone call 911.
Santa! It's Santa!
Hello.
Anyway, sorry, Dad, carry on.
Okay, well, what we said we wouldn't really talk about, I have had basically BBC News Live on every evening from 10 o'clock till...
Oh, so depressing.
No, I want to know what's going on, and Isla's always asking.
Yeah, it's strangely, that's strangely therapeutic as well, isn't it? Actually knowing what's going on and seeing how bad the suffering is.
There's a particular programme on BBC News Live, which is called The Papers. And it is, yes, them looking at the headlines of the following day's papers, but the insight they've been giving has been absolutely wonderful. So that's been on quite a lot as well. And then to counterbalance that, there's been an awful lot of Avatar. We've been watching all the cartoon series of Avatar on Netflix because Ina absolutely adores it. There you go. That's what I've been up to.
Thank you, Deb. Billy Kirk Bright says, I feel like Sarah having Rosen from the cryogenic chamber. It's 4:30 a.m. And then he says, you're all bonkers. Cheers, Billy.
Well, if Billy's up at 4:30 a.m.
All bonkers.
Sorry, Kirby.
Kirby's trying to do the accent.
So Kirby's trying to do Billy. Here we go.
My dad's going to lump you on the nose one day.
No.
You're not going to do it
again? Well, what I was going to say is if Billy's getting up at 4:30 a.m., that can only mean one thing.
The cricket on.
He's going, no, it right. means he's driving next door, which is about 6,000 miles away, I think.
Or he wants to make sure he doesn't miss the last ever episode of Neighbours, of course, which is going to be quite...
Which is... Which,
Home
which
Away will follow soon.
About 6 months early, I think he's getting up about that. Billy, go back to bed if that's what you've got up for, mate. I'll give you a text.
He's going to be up for a long time.
Right then, Kirby. Yeah. Oh, by the way, before we move on to Kirby, Debbie, the programme you're looking for is Lost Relic Hunters.
Thanks, I've written that down.
There's about 10 episodes of that, and it's absolutely astonishing.
What
brilliant program. The only thing they don't need is the slow motion walking.
Which where is it? Is it Netflix Prime?
Sky History.
Yes.
Okay.
Right then, Kirby.
Okay, what I've been watching. Well, after I watched Unicorn and the Wasp with Fred three weeks ago, we just kept going and we finished series four. That night we had to. I mean, it's series four is just
spoilers,
so...
Kirby. Spoilers.
And also I have this. Don't tell work, but no. Sometimes I'll turn on what is that particular streaming service?
Netflix.
They have a Doctor Who channel, and they just run random classic Who.
Pluto.
That's it. I've heard of that.
I really want that actually.
It's free, isn't it? It's free streaming.
Isn't Pluto the one that used to be a channel but now is just an Exo channel?
Yes. Yeah, we had it as a channel for ages and then it just disappeared.
I don't know if you can get it there, but
I've got to start watching Picard. That came online this week.
Oh yes, yeah, what? Picard as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I need to watch that, but couldn't watch it on Friday when the geek daughter and I usually watch things because we're having some connection issues, internet connection. But we did manage to finally finish Boba Fett.
Yes, you keep the old gob shut because I haven't seen any of that apart from episode one.
Oh, that's brilliant.
We couldn't get things timed properly for us to watch. Thing. So I waited however many weeks, so we finally finished that. And then after I watched the last episode of Boba Fett with her, I watched the last episode of Boba Fett with Fred. And then I've kept Peacock for...
Peacock?
Pluto, you mean?
That's the NBC channel... I don't know if it's available. I doubt it's available to you guys.
No.
Peacock? We got Peacock somewhere. But I've seen it on Amazon.
We bought it. We bought the paid version to watch the Olympics. And I'm keeping it in order to finish watching Resident Alien, which is brilliant.
That's blooming brilliant, that is.
I've seen a preview for that. It does look quite good.
Yeah, I'm still in the first season. I have some ideas what happens in the second season, and I will be finishing it, and then I'll cancel Peacock until the next season comes out.
Yeah, something else will come on that will go, ooh.
Yeah.
Billy Kirkwright says, Neighbours, and then he says, I watched the first episode, or tried to, of Boba Fett and fell asleep.
I'm going to start.
And then the other thing I watched, as soon as I noticed that a fourth part had come out, was Disenchantment, speaking of Matt Groening. Disenchantment is great if you haven't seen it.
Yep.
Is it good if you have seen it?
Yes!
Nice.
And then, I don't know why it came up as a subject matter yesterday. I was in the car with Fred, and we were discussing things to watch. I don't know why samurai films had not come up before, but I suggested to her that we watch Seven Samurai.
Oh, I love that.
Which we started to watch last night. She likes it, but she was just too tired. We made 40 minutes into a 3-hour movie, but she still liked it very much, and we'll probably be continuing that maybe tonight.
Good.
Okay, was that it?
There's an awful lot of the absolute classic Japanese Cinema, available on HBO Max.
Okay. Thank you, Kirby. Right, I haven't actually got a bit of music, have I? For
why,
Mary's
you've had
bit.
Ages to line it up.
Yeah.
I haven't got any music.
Speaking of music, Master, I will get you some good traveling music offline. I need to probably have
good
to
what music?
It off of.
What do you want traveling music for, Adam?
I don't. I was just saying I haven't got a piece of music for Mary's bit.
I've got something for Mary's bit.
Oh, thank you.
Traveling music. Remember how Ben needed some traveling music a few minutes ago?
Yeah, that was.
No, he didn't want traveling music. He wanted travel show music.
Oh.
Because traveling music could be like sitting on the bus, you know.
No. No, what I'm going to send you is it's not the Simpsons version of what I'm about to say. The monorail song is actually.
Monorail.
No, not that one. It was actually, there's music that was composed for The Wonderful World of Color, Walt Disney, back in the 60s, that they all, whenever they showed the monorail on Walt Disney's show, they had this wonderful music that I've always loved. It's just, it's perfect for googie modern 60s googie. That's the what you would call the type of futurism that you would see in the Jetsons and the monorail at Disneyland and stuff like
that.
Okay. That's kooky.
Monorail.
Anyway, sorry about this,
Mary. Go on, get Mary some music.
No, I've got something for Mary.
Go
I've
on,
got
then.
Something for Mary. It's fine.
Go on, then.
You can all stand down. Mary, Mary, it's almost your turn. I'll just introduce you like this. She's been watching telly and listening to stuff too. The lovely Mary Blitz Lang, it's now over to you.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Well, and I also read.
And she's read a few books and magazines and articles. Anything else? I mean, she's turning into Kirby.
A bit harsh.
I was only joking, obviously.
Well, on the topic.
Sorry,
of-
Kirby.
Stuff that we've been watching, I came across a really intriguing streamed show called Severance that's on Apple TV.
I've heard of that too.
Severance, it's amazing so far. It's really, really good. It's about people who they take a pledge that they understand that their work life is going to be totally separate from their personal life, and they even go through an operation where a little implant is put in their head so that every time they step on the elevator of the place where they work and descend to the basement floor, there's something in the elevator that interacts with that little implant so that they completely, and I mean completely, forget what their personal life is. And so they live two different lives. They live their work life in the basement doing, I mean, it's really hard to figure out what they're really doing. And then when they get on the elevator to go back up at the end of the day, then they completely, you know, the memory of everything they've done at work is erased. And so now then they live their personal life. And we're about three episodes in, and it's very intriguing. I'm really enjoying it.
Gonna have to give that a go, definitely.
Yeah. Do you have Apple TV?
No, but I'm sure I can find some way of watching
something. We all have our ways.
Yes, exactly.
And on the topic of the program we just watched, The Unicorn and the Wasp, we brought up Christopher Benjamin, who, you know, is Henry Gordon Jago. That he and Trevor Baxter as Professor Lightfoot have a very long series. I think we're up to series 16 of stories on Big Finish called Jago and Lightfoot.
Yes.
Yes.
They solve mysteries, you know, mostly in Victorian England. But they do have, sometimes they travel with one or another of the doctors to other times and other planets. And sometimes due to, you know, some quirks in the universe, they also get transported to other times. And they are hilarious. The two of them together are so much fun. It's a series that I highly, highly recommend. I can count on one hand, maybe out of 16 series, the number of stories that maybe were not up to par, but I mean, they're amazing. And I strongly recommend anyone who wants to get into Big Finish that remembers them from the talons of Wang Chiang, that it's a precious series of stories. And Trevor Baxter has died recently. So I don't know if they're going to come up with another voice actor to do him to continue the series or if this is the end. But there's a treasure trove of stories to listen to. And in terms of reading, I did finally finish The Mythmakers, the Target book, and I can't recommend anything more highly. Most of the Target novels are just transferring the scripts to, you know, books, but this is told so well that it even caused me to go back and look at the loose canon version, you know, of Mythmakers, which is a lot to put up with. You know, they don't have a lot of photographs to work with. So mostly I just close my eyes and listen to the soundtrack. And it's done amusingly. You know, the humor in the dialogue is definitely there. But the narration is what makes it. And that's what you get in the book, which is wonderful. And now this week I just started the book Meglus from... So I you know, just started it, so I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm having fun reading the Target books.
It's fun, isn't it? Yeah, I'll pick them up periodically and read through them because they're not hard reads. They're quite quick. Even if there's one that sticks a bit, you still get through it. And yeah,
I can recommend the novel of Planet of Spiders because that's the first Doctor Who novel that I actually ever read, and and I'd never seen Planet of Spiders when I read that book, and it was. It was really nice to be able to sort of paint a picture of it in my mind and then watch the story afterwards.
And I've also started another book by Paul Cornell in the Virgin New Adventures books. Those were the ones that followed after Doctor Who was closed off, you know, from TV production anymore. So the last Doctor anybody knew was the seventh Doctor and Ace. So all these books, and there's a lot of them, feature adventures with them. So I'm on to a book of his too. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
Well, thank you very much, Mary. Billy Kirkbright says, lol, Ben. That could be in reference to quite a lot of things that Ben said in the show today.
Well, you say that, but you all missed my greatest comedic moment of the evening.
Maybe
it
that's
just went over all your heads.
Maybe he heard
it. I was
it.
So disappointed. It was so funny.
Was it?
Well, Billy didn't see it, so that's all right then. Yeah.
When Kirby mentioned the channel Pluto, I said, "Was that is that now an exo channel?"
Kirby got it.
Like Pluto, the planet.
Yeah, I
which
did.
Is now an exoplanet.
It's very good.
God, you lot don't get into collective jokes very well.
It's a dwarf planet. What are you talking about, exo?
No, it's an exoplanet.
No, it's a dwarf planet.
No, it's an
exoplanet.
Exoplanet.
It's a dwarf planet.
Right, let's have a vote. Right, me and Ben
Rabbit
saying
season.
It. Duck me and Ben
season.
Saying it's an exoplanet. What do you say, Mary? You've got the casting vote.
Dwarf planet.
Yes.
Don't get influenced.
Well, that's a draw then. Let's move on.
If you Google it, it says Pluto is a dwarf planet in the Kuiper belt.
It's not on Wikipedia you got that information, did you?
Yes.
Well, there, of course it's right then, isn't it? Right. Also, Ben, I wanted you to know, just in case you haven't seen it, it's on Amazon Prime. It's called Shane. It's absolutely. But don't watch it until you've obviously got over it a bit, because it will have you in tears now in knowing what's going to transpire.
It will end away no matter when I watch it.
And the other part of that
happen,
whole...
Does this happen, though, when people get a really good... documentary made about them, like Betty White. She had this wonderful program made for her 100th birthday.
Yeah.
And then she passed. And
before
now
she got to 100.
Warren,
they did that
for
Duke of Edinburgh, didn't they? They got together as fond of and he was dead. But
when are they going to make a program about Katie Price?
Oh, low. She's already had too many programs made about her.
Yeah, she's had too much airtime.
Clearly not enough. Not enough.
No, we talked about our favourite cricketers, both and Shane Warne. And the other sad part of this whole story that Rodney Marsh was one of my favourite cricketers from when I used to watch cricket in the 70s and 80s. And of course, one of the last things that Shane Warne did was post a condolence tweet about the passing of Rodney Marsh, and then within a few hours he was dead himself. But yeah, terrible week for cricket. Right, so next time we'll be, I'll just make sure I'm available next week, otherwise I'll be shooting myself in the foot somewhat. Next, yes, I appear to be available. When are Saints playing? Oh, that's 2 o'clock kickoff, right?
Well, I don't finish work till 4. Because it is rather an interesting two-parter.
It's a two-parter. We will be watching it during the course of the next 7 days, and I think we can manage.
I would send
that,
you a picture.
Because one thing I can tell you about this particular story is it has one of my favourite New Who characters in the shape of Riversong, aka Alex Kingston, who's actually at her oldest in this story, and looks very much at a younger. So anyway, that's next week. It's Silence in the Library, and the, what's the other episode of it called?
Ghost of the Dead.
Yeah. So well, we
Master. I do need to point out, I pointed this out privately to everyone earlier today. Next week we have time change here in the U.S. So Britain and the U.S. move closer together by an hour.
And then separate again a couple of weeks later. Yes.
We run off again pretty quickly.
Yes. So for the next,
that's close.
For the next two,
but joining, yes.
For the next 2 weeks, Americans who do watch the live feed an hour later.
Okay. Right then. Billy says.
And also, can I just point out to the Americans that watch the live feed, there are loads of other things to do.
Maybe so. Billy said he was laughing at Ben's song for Mary. I don't think that was meant to be funny. I think that was meant to be a serious piece of music and on the spot composition, to be fair.
It was serious. I'm disappointed. That was going to be one of the most serious points of. I mean, the thing I think that upsets me now is the point that was meant to be in that song, the message that those lyrics were trying to give. I mean, I'm just, thanks, Billy.
He then says, hiya, Robert. And Robert says, I heard Picard was good. Download the first episode. Can't wait to watch. I might watch it after my bath now. I'm getting quite excited seeing that picture.
We're watching it tomorrow night.
The preview picture, if you have Prime, is Picard and Q. So it's not a spoiler because it's actually there as their preview picture. So that's intriguing in itself.
And the trailers showed another character from.
I don't want to know. Shut up, Kirby. Right then. Until next week.
Yes, Kirby, I'll acknowledge that, and it's very wonderful. Yeah, all right.
Thank you. There were certain loads of characters from in the last couple of episodes of the last series from Star Trek: The Next Generation. Back to me saying goodbye. So next week, hopefully same time, same place, and listen to what Kirby said. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye.
Bees make honey, wasps make jam.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.